What's up, you guys? It's Aisha.
My name is Mariah.
My name is Yumha.
And today you're listening to another episode of your local brown girl podcast. I hope you all are having a lovely, sunshiny, amazing, fun day wherever you are. If you're not, then I'm really impressed that you were able to turn on my podcast. I kind of feel like I'm going to make it worse. But it's okay because you're here anyway. Today, our topic of discussion is, I don't want to be too explicit. I don't want to say that it's white feminism, but it is a product of white feminism a little bit, maybe. I don't know. White feminists get really mad at my podcast just already just looking at it because it's called Your Local Brown Girl. But we're all women of color here, so none of us are really entitled to talk on the white woman's experience. I'm sure you can find that anywhere somewhere else. Call Her Daddy is probably the place to go.
Yeah,
maybe even Joe Rogan. He might know something about a white woman or two. But I want to talk specifically about something that has been brought to my attention by the universe. And it's just the immediate association of, like, sexualizing young women, immediately meaning liberation of young women. And I can let one of you guys, like, explain it more if you'd like. Or I can explain it more. I'm just trying to give y'all a natural... You know what, Yumha, why don't you go ahead and take over? A natural takeover from
I'll take over. So, yeah, we're talking about the over-sexualization of young women.
I'm begging you to stop with the voice.
Sorry. But, like, specifically on TikTok, the media everywhere, I think a lot of people just bring up ideas of, like, to young audiences, because obviously these are, like, social media apps, so there's going to be young girls everywhere. And they're just, like, talking about, like, how when you turn 18, you can get OnlyFans and you can get a lot of money and bada bing, bada boom, quick cash, easy. This is women's liberation. This is women's empowerment. Everybody, like,
right.
Everybody have fun. Let's do it.
And it's a direct counteraction to the idea that in the past, we've been forced to be too modest or, yeah, like, you know, middle school dress code type B where it's like cover your shoulders, or not even for a lot of kids. It's not just middle school. For a lot of kids, it's like high school too. But we went to public school. We were allowed to wear whatever we wanted.
And they gave up quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. But like that idea of girls not being able to show their shoulders, cleavage, stuff like that. It's basically like a direct counteraction to that, to being like, fuck you, I can show my body however I want, whatever, whenever I want. And that is totally fine. Yeah. We don't have a problem with the sexualization.
Do whatever you want.
But the question is, where is it coming from, right? Mariah, do you want to talk a little bit about that, about who benefits from this form of liberation?
I think it just becomes a problem when we only view liberation in one monolithic way.
Yeah.
And we only see, like, okay, a free woman, like a feminist, is someone who's out there like free the nipple,
right?
Like that, like, kind of thing, where it's like you're embracing your sexuality and all that kind of stuff, which is great. Like, that's a big part of, like, the feminist movement and stuff. But it becomes a problem when instead it's formed in a way where it's like, you have to do this or you're not a liberated woman.
Exactly.
Like, if you are not, like, you know, like, just really open with your sexuality and everything, and, you know, like to show skin and everything like that, then you're not a liberated woman.
You're under,
like,
the shackles of the patriarchy.
Exactly. Yeah,
that reminds me of, like, the women who, like, white feminists who, like, get a canvas and start painting with their period blood, and they're like,
this. Oh, God!
They're like,
this is not what the man wanted.
This is totally going against everything the patriarchy stands for, and we're dismantling it right here,
right now, in my disgusting underwear.
Yeah, and they draw, like,
no, not that it's disgusting, guys. It's not disgusting. Please don't.
And they draw, like,
give me
vaginas
zero stars
everywhere, and they're like, "Do you see this vagina?
Do you see this vagina?
This is what it. This is what being a feminist is all about."
And like, okay, listen, I don't give a fuck. All right, paint your period
that
blood.
That's one brand, you know. That can be feminism.
You know
too,
what?
If you want
no,
it to be.
I don't want it to.
They want it to be.
No.
I don't want to stop
you know
them.
What? To
care.
All the white feminists out there, I'm telling you right now, period blood paintings cannot be a brand of feminism. I, the original feminist, Adele, decided. Adele. And Emma Watson, we all had a conversation. We all decided that no more period paintings. On that note. But that actually brings up an interesting point of beneficiaries and, like, the man.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the man. Let's talk about the role that he plays here, right? Because, like, okay, so if this is a counteraction to being told to cover up all the time, who were we covering up all the time for? Men, right? And the beautiful thing about that is that they still found a way to fetishize it.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic schoolgirl uniforms are selling out every Halloween, ladies and gentlemen, and it is literally a subgenre of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
I mean, the whole point of modesty was because men at the time were turned on by the idea that they were the only ones
exactly.
who got to see, like, that woman whenever she was naked. Like, that idea of possession over someone's body and not letting anybody else see it.
Exactly.
So, like, the idea of the opposite of it is instead, like, showing it to, like, whoever can see it or whatever, and that's the idea of freedom. And, I mean, in some ways it is, but, like,
but
the
conflict that comes up with that is when you start sacrificing part of yourself for this version of feminism that you aren't comfortable with. Because the problem that white feminism creates is that it creates an other, and that is incredibly... what is it called? Counterproductive.
Yeah.
That's the word. It's incredibly counterproductive to the cause of feminism, because if you're meant to be equal, there can be no other, right? In any organization of social justice where there is an other, where there's someone that we are marginalizing, then clearly there's going to be conflict there with them accepting the rest of the brand. That's what's great about feminism, is there is no other, there's just women, right? And that the problem with white feminism is if you're someone who, for example, would rather not, you know, wear crop tops, stuff like that, when it's hot out, you decide to wear a hoodie, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're with your bestie Kaylin. Oh my god, not Kaylin. Okay, we have a friend, Kaylin. She's not white. I'm trying to think of any white name. Katie. Oh, such a classic white name. There's like 20 girls that go to my school,
you did
but I can.
Kaylin's so wrong.
No, literally. Kaylin, I apologize. But Katie, you go out, your best friend Katie, you're like, oh, you know, I'm just more comfortable covered up. But it's fine that you don't want to be covered up. I don't care. She's like, but it's so hot out. You know you don't have to do that, right? Like, just because a man would feel uncomfortable with you being so open doesn't mean that you can't be open. It's like, well, Katie, we're going to an ice cream store, and it's not really my preference to dress that way. And then it's like, okay, well, you're being oppressed, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who am I being oppressed by? Am I being oppressed by the fact that I'm dressing in a provocative way now, and I'm not comfortable with it? Or am I being oppressed by men when I'm dressing in a way that I am actually comfortable with? Because one of those things is happening. Here's the thing. You're being oppressed by men either way.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Here's the secret.
That's literally the thing. No matter what you do, these men will find a way to do
something. It's just
like
the way
gross.
We were socialized.
They're always, you know, one thing I can tell you about men, they're always thinking about something gross.
They're always thinking about something gross. Exactly. So, Katie, shut the fuck up. You are not any more, less subject to inequality than the next chick, right?
Yeah.
Because when you are someone who's uncomfortable with that brand of feminism, but because you think it's the only one that you can wear without being, like, an anti-feminist, right? Then who's benefiting? You're literally wearing a super short skirt, wearing a tube top, whatever you want to wear as a slutty outfit that you think someone might be uncomfortable with, and you're wearing it for men. Because you're not wearing it for yourself in that scenario. In that scenario, you're wearing it because this brand of white feminism told you that this is what liberation feels like, even if you don't feel comfortable in it. Because the reason why you don't feel comfortable in it is because you were raised by men that made you feel like it's not comfortable. But it's like, now I'm not comfortable, though.
Yeah.
I can't undo that.
How is this feminism, guys?
Yeah.
I'm a woman, and I'm not comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think being comfortable is literally, like, at the core of it. Because at that point, like, promiscuity, if you're doing it, like, the whole idea of liberation in that area is supposed to be that you're wearing it for yourself. You're not wearing it for a men's gaze. Like, okay, like, I'm wearing this, I'm a bad bitch. Like, you know, like, that's the thing. But if you're wearing it and you aren't comfortable with wearing it, you're literally wearing it for men.
Yeah. Exactly.
In a way.
And there's,
like,
and I saw a TikTok that was talking about, like, how, like, that idea of, like, appealing to the male gaze and stuff like that and what you want to wear. And it's, like, and they weren't bashing anybody who wear, because, like, I will wear clothes to a party that I think guys will like. And I don't even care about boys. Like, that's the thing. Because it's, like, it's not that it's a bad thing to dress that way. Because it's been ingrained in us. Like, oh, you know.
It is so, it's just, so it's, stupid to think you're above it, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just have to think critically and be like, okay, I know that I'm doing this, but I'm still going to do it. Like, like, just know what you're doing and don't act like you're, like, better than anybody.
Yeah.
And that's the problem when you decide to create an other, right? Yeah. Within social justice, when you create an other, like, let's use something that I'm more involved in, you know, Muslims, okay? We have a thing in Islam where we definitely ostracize people that are less religious than more religious Muslims. And this is any religion, right? But the thing about Islam, specifically, that really works for this metaphor is that it's meant to be the religion of peace. Same thing with feminism. It's meant to be a social justice movement for equality. But the problem with having your mission statement center around equality, center around peace, is that when you only allow one version of peace, only allow one version of equality, and that being your own, or that being the majority's idea of it, there's going to be a group that is being forced to take on an ideology that they don't believe in. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what oppression actually is. Oppression isn't wearing a hijab when you choose to wear a hijab. Oppression isn't modesty for your own sake. Oppression is being forced into the mold of what you think a feminist is supposed to look like because some other girl told you that.
And somehow white feminists have shaped feminism. And I don't know how they did it, guys. I don't know how they did it, but they somehow made the idea of equality unequal.
Like, because the thing is, men got involved with
it.
And that's why it's really interesting to look at other versions of feminism in other cultures, because it's with white feminism, it's white men, right? But in other sectors and other generations of feminism, it is men of color who are doing it, right? Yeah. And I think that when we start to, like, criticize other people's liberation, that's when privilege starts to make itself be shown and make itself be known. Because, you know, privilege ultimately is thinking that your experience applies to everyone else. And especially when your experience was something that was, you know, desirable, something that was above average, above the median in your country. And unfortunately, when you apply that privilege to feminism, and when you apply that privilege to 50% of the population, like, women are just so different.
I also think that there's a really interesting imbalance, like, when you're talking about, like, how you create inequality and oppression within your desire for equality. I feel like one of the big things where there's, like, a huge lapse between, like, white feminists and, like, specifically black feminists is because, like, when white feminists are like, okay, like, you know, like, liberate your body, you know, like, wear whatever you want.
With a straight face.
I know, like wear whatever you want kind of thing. But then, like, a white woman doing that, they're like, oh, wow, strong woman. But when a black woman does it, it is not the same at all.
Yeah, literally.
We are already over-sexualized since we're literally babies.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, like, the whole idea where you try to do that and it's like, okay, that works for you, and you could be seen, like, even if people don't like feminists, they're still like, okay, whatever, she's, like, an annoying feminist. But when, a black woman does it, it's, like, ghetto. Like, it's not seen as liberation. It's not seen as anything desirable from either side. And it's also, like, if a black girl does decide to, like, be modest and stuff, like, usually, like, I can't generalize, but, like, sometimes it's, like, for their own safety because black women are already, like, sexualized all the time. Like, even from, like, being children, like,
absolutely,
like, there's, like, it's also like, and it's not just like white feminists are doing it, like it's also a big thing just within the black community, like black men, mm-hmm. like the way that they like frame like, oh, okay, like I don't want to have a daughter because like,
would you rather have a daughter or a gay son?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, like that whole thing.
If you don't know, like, that reference, please just write over that joke.
Yeah, but it's like that whole thing, that whole mentality of being like, okay, like I don't want to have a daughter because you know how disgusting you are and how you would
exactly you're projecting, like, your own perversion.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's really interesting to me because, like, that video of that girl, which not everyone might be familiar with it, but he's like, why are you dressed like a slut? And she goes, because mm-hmm. I'm a slut. Mm-hmm. And he goes, but why? Don't you love God? And she goes, yes. And then he goes, but why? Then why are you dressed like a slut? And she goes, because I'm a slut. And y'all, if you haven't seen the video, you basically just did. Just rewind the conversation I just had with myself 20 times over. And it's like this old dude and this young woman on the street. And he's just there for shits and giggles, yeah, to, yeah, you know, talk about the fact that she's dressed like a slut. And it's like, well, why are you looking at her like a slut?
Yeah.
You know, how about we talk about that a little bit? Why?
And about that, like, people think that sexualization, especially men think this, they think it's a good thing. They're like, no, but I like you. Like, I,
exactly.
They're like, no, I like you. I like your body. Like, oh my God, I love women. Like,
exactly. And
they don't understand that is misogyny, bro.
When, like, you look at a period painting and you're like, this is epic. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that you like the smell of a woman's period. It still sounds as serial killerish as if it would if you did not see a white woman make that painting. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. But especially with what you were saying with double standards, Mia Khalifa. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. The way I could go on about the shit that this woman got from Western society for being a brown woman in pornography, and then from Middle Eastern, I should say Middle Eastern, that was such a faux pas on my part, from South Asian society for, damn, I'm gonna get canceled for saying Middle Eastern, huh? It's fine. I just had that realization. But from South Asian society for, like, obviously being in pornography. And then there are so many porn stars of white origin, the weirdest way I could say that, that, you know, they're in the spotlight and honestly make some graphic content, and I think it's great for them that they can make money off it. I think it's kind of fucked up that Mia Khalifa got totally dogged on, though.
Wasn't she only in that industry for, like, 2 years from one year, maybe?
It wasn't her fault that men were so fucking disgusting that they did that to her.
Yeah.
And yet she is still seen as this cautionary tale for immigrant mothers to be like, hey, if you bring your daughter to the States, this is what you're setting her up for. Right. Even though Mia Khalifa's Canadian, but okay. And her content that she made, I literally hate talking about this, but there was literally content of her, you know, because she was a brown woman wearing a hijab and straight up filming porn naked and just in a hijab. And that should tell you all you need to know about liberation in the view of men.
Yeah.
Because you will hear all these complaints about, from men, not from women. Well, women in Saudi Arabia can't drive. They can't even show their face. They can't, they have to cover themselves. You hear all this shit talking about why Islamic countries are bad, right? Not to say that they aren't, not to say that they are, right? But you hear that argument. And then you go look at their search history.
Yeah.
And they're watching Mia Khalifa get, fucked in a hijab. Like, just literally, you don't care.
Yeah.
You don't care because at the end of the day, this is a kink for you. Mm-hmm. For a woman to be having a debate with this man, for the man, this is a kink for him that he'll walk away and he'll get to watch it on Pornhub later. Yeah. For women, it's a life that she walks away and she has to re-enter.
Yeah.
So I don't know why men act like we're supposed to be any more sensitive to them in this conversation when they get involved in it.
Yeah.
It's like, just shut up.
It's sort of like what we were talking about earlier, how, like, people will use other situations as a scapegoat. Like, it's, like, definitely the kind of thing where they, like, bring up other situations that they don't care about at all. Like, when they're like, oh, yeah, well, people in Saudi Arabia, like, or women in Saudi Arabia, like, blah, 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 or, like, trying to, like, insinuate the idea that, like, women who wear hijabs are, like, oppressed and, like, aren't free, like, that kind of thing. It's like, for one, you don't know anything about the situation. Exactly. Two, you don't care anything about the situation until it can benefit your argument.
What are you doing?
What you said?
You said there's problems in Saudi Arabia. What are you doing?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah, exactly. Like, outside of this conversation, if you care about it, like, what have you done? Like, what's
And it's nothing. All you did was go to, like, an abortion clinic and spit at a 13-year-old who had to abort a child that they got because their cousin raped them. But great, yeah, you're definitely liberating women, Kyle.
Yeah.
Fucking, yeah. Let's go spit at more children that were raped by your cousins. Like, yeah, that's literally what... No, but at the end of the day, that's literally what they're doing. They're fighting for women that if they had the opportunity to, they would kill.
Yeah.
They're pretending that this is an argument that they have any standing in. And that's really... That's really great, you guys. I really like that. I really do think it's really great. But basically, my takeaway from that whole situation is... If you want to consider what liberation means for women, I think looking at the fact that people think, oh, it's so messed up that they're forced, quote unquote, forced to wear burqas in Saudi Arabia. Look at the fact that in France, it's illegal to wear one.
Yeah.
And then tell me that that's liberation. Because if liberation for you means banning one thing and allowing another thing, you need to go to like one second grade English class.
Yeah.
And check yourself. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
Man, final thoughts.
Fuck me!
No, yeah.
For real.
No, for real. Straight up.
Straight up. Yeah.
No, because, yeah. No, like, literally fuck men. Because
but don't literally.
No, yeah, don't literally. No, no, don't do
it. Unless you want to.
Unless you want. But like, all of, like, the only reason we ever, the only reason feminism is a thing is because men had to come in and ruin everything for us.
We knew that.
The only reason we're all in this triangle right now talking about this.
We all knew that.
It's because of men.
That was...
Always, hey, bae, always remember, it's always a man's fault.
It's
any problem you have, you can trace it back to a single man.
And one. Who is it?
I don't know.
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh. I got on his Abe. I don't have any attachment to Abraham Lincoln. I'm actually afraid of him.
No, literally.
Imagine Abraham Lincoln standing in your doorway and tell me you're not afraid because that man's too tall. With the top.
Imagine
hat and
he says, do you want to read the Emancipation Proclamation?
Yeah, think of that and tell me you're not afraid of Abraham Lincoln.
And that's then very every other man in the world also.
Yeah, and then group it all together. But my final thought is not Abraham Lincoln. My final thought is that liberation is all about what you're comfortable with. So do what you want to do. If you want to dress as promiscuous as you want, you're free. If you want to dress modest, wear a hoodie, sweatpants, whatever you want to do, you're free as well.
Yes, and think, and just, you don't have, and like, we...
Okay, enough final thoughts.
Sorry. No, listen. We are in a patriarchy. It's all around us, baby. It's all around us, baby.
Someone's literally just having a crisis.
Listen. You don't have to change the way you dress to be a feminist. You can dress the way you want, like Mariah was just saying right now. But, like, and you can still think about the things that you're doing, like, the daily actions that you do, and be like, oh, I'm putting this makeup on for a man. And that's fine, because that's not your fault. Again, you can trace back to a man.
At the end of the day... To ever think that you are better than the society that we were all socialized in is exactly what the society we were all socialized in wants you to think. And I think the fact that you're that vulnerable to it is actually kind of pathetic on your part. And this was targeted at white women. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Your Local Brown Girl Podcast. Honestly, my ratings are going to go down an entire star. Because I have an entire rating that was like, hey... If you are a white woman, or if you're a Caucasian woman or something, go look for it right now in the App Store. Don't listen to this podcast. And honestly, she is on to something. My name's Aisha.
My name's Mariah.
My name's Yumha.
And you just listened to a beautiful episode of Your Local Brown Girl Podcast. Have a wonderful rest of your day.